Friends, what do we mean when we say Alberton Church? Well, I suppose if you say to someone, I'll meet you at the church, we're talking about the physical building. But of course, we understand that that's not really what the church is. The church has to do with God's people. And so we gathered here, our Alberton Church. We may not be all of it, but we are part of this community of faith which worships in this place. A community of faith that God has called together from this general area of his creation. So we clearly understand that the church is not just a building, but it's people. But you know, that's not quite the whole story. By that I mean, we've been focusing on the reality that the church is not just this small gathered congregation. It is God's people in the world. Now, how many people does that involve? Well, just doing one of those quick little Google searches of these days. You know, we come up with something like 2.2 billion people. Now, I know that those are people who are identified with Christianity, and they don't necessarily all represent committed individuals. They are not all people who would be present in worship. Think of trying to find a space to bring together 2.2 million billion people. Anyway, the point is, it is a very large number. And we're part of that. We're not just however many of us happen to be collected here on a Sunday morning, or how many happen in this general area to be gathered for worship on a Sunday morning. God's church is his people in the world. And the number is very large. There's a hymn we sing sometimes. Lynn's not here this morning, but you know, I might almost be tempted to invite her up and lead us in a chorus, because I've heard her sing this with the children. I am the church, you are the church, we are the church together. All who follow Jesus all around the world, yes, we're the church together. And we dare not lose that perception of the bigger church, the whole church. Oh, wait a minute. That's not quite the whole story. There's more. Because in the scriptures, the church includes not only those alive in this generation, but the gathering of God's people is not bound by mortality and death. And the gathering of God's people includes those who have gone before us in the faith. The generations, over the centuries. And of course, the church also in anticipation includes those who will come to faith. You see, it's a It's a huge assembly, God's people. Makes the 2.2 billion sound quite manageable. And why is this important? Well, because there are challenges to us in this, you know. If we lose that perspective of the big gathering of God's people, then we begin to think in ways which are unhelpful for us or unhealthy for our living out of the faith. It is critical for us to remember that we're part of something much, much larger. And it is a challenge for us to think big enough about God's people. And it's hard even to find analogies that help us do that. I mean, we're kind of like drops of water in an ocean. I mean, each one has its own integrity, and yet the ocean doesn't exist without all the drops. We're kind of like threads in a piece of cloth. We have a role to play. If a thread is broken, it's noticeable. And yet, the cloth doesn't exist unless the threads are bound together. And so this image of the church, which I've been calling in these weeks the global church, but which I've just suggested is even bigger than that, is important for us, lest we settle for a lesser view of the grandeur of God's people. Now, there's another side to this that is also a danger for us. You know, we may say in our minds or respond in our attitudes by thinking, you know, if it's this huge, what do I matter? What's it to God? Who am I? Well, of course, it is important that we not think too much of ourselves. But at the same time, it is critical that we also all keep in mind that God has an intention and a purpose for each one of us. That he has some role for us to play in this larger body. Oh, when we put all the numbers together, we may not be able to visually see the difference that one believer makes. But it is the living together in faith of God's people and the proclaiming of his name together that constitute the church in the world. As I say, sometimes we forget the big picture and just focus all our attentions in on ourselves, in our limited circumstances, and that's not helpful for us spiritually. Whereas at the same time, if we reach the conclusion that we're insignificant in God's plan, that also detaches us from our calling in Christ. For what we need to always keep in mind is that it doesn't really matter what the big number is. God loves you. Individual, you. That's the personalness and intensity of the Lord's care. Now, to us, even assisted by all our great digital devices of these days, can't quite wrap ourselves around that. that the Lord of all creation knows us individually and cares about us individually and desires us to be part of his people, his family, his community of faith. That's awesome. And that's our hope and our strength. And for us to live out this faith where we are, but always remembering we're part of the larger whole, requires us to keep being inspired about our calling in Christ. It's so easy for us to become diverted into side paths in life that are lacking the vision of the entirety of the faith. And yet, it's crucial that we remember it. And what gives us the inspiration for all of this? Well, as I suggested, it's that God cares for us personally. But I point to a couple of aspects of the scripture passages that were read in our midst this morning. Matthew 9. Jesus used some interesting terminology there. Now, you people know about farms. You may not have farmed yourself, but you've lived in the midst of farmland. Go out and drive down any road around here these days and you'll see crops. Some of them are almost ready for harvest. But you know what? The crops don't harvest themselves. I mean, even in a bumper year, the crops don't just march into the grain bins. There are harvesters involved. And Jesus used that image to remind his disciples and those who would follow them of one dimension of the role that he had for them, that they should go out into the harvest and engage in the process of proclaiming the good news that people might come in. In fact, it's interesting to me just to observe that when Jesus was performing his ministry, he didn't do so by just going to the big places or trying to attack the attention and support of big names. He went into the little villages and the little towns. Oh yes, the cities also, but the small places were not neglected. And he didn't seek out those of prominence in even the religious culture of his day. When you take a look at his inner circle of followers, they're a pretty motley crew. I don't mean that in a disparaging way, I just mean in an ordinary way. And those were of Christ's choosing to further his ministry in the world. A ministry which was going to lead them into the challenge to take this good news out into the whole world. Hebrews 12 reminds us that we're part of something much bigger than we sometimes realize. It reminds us that we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. People who, in faith, in the faith community, are in fact in the image that is used in Hebrews almost as though they're cheering us on. And that support becomes critical, because we're not alone and forgotten and isolated and off in a corner. We're acting as part of and on behalf of the whole community of faith in the world. And that remembrance changes things for us. Talk to athletes and they'll tell you the dynamic that comes from the support of the cheering crowd. And we have a cheering crowd. God's people. Not just the few around us, but the whole assembly of God's people cheering us on to be who the Lord has called us to be, to do what the Lord has called us to do, to finish the race that the Lord has laid out before us, and to do so for the glory of His name. And we do this inspired by the remembrance of Jesus, our Lord, who led the way, who endured abuse and every attempt to shame him and deter him from his commitment, but who continued. And we, as his people, follow his example. And we're not trailblazers, we're only walking where he has already gone before us. So these things, you know, do change how we think about ourselves and how we think about the church. And actually, hopefully, how we think about Alberton Church. So that when we say Alberton Church, we're not just saying possibly the building, but this assembled group of people. But we're talking about a part of the whole Church of Jesus Christ, the saints of God through all ages, living for his glory and engaged in the work of reaping the harvest. Friends, this is good news. Take it with you. Rejoice in it. Celebrate what God has done. Ask God to make it ever more clear to you what role he has for you to play in the community of his people. Thanks be to God.